You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290, 564-1290. Or you can reach Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, after the program at 898-4242, 898-4242, and at RadioRealEstate.com.
Welcome back if you've just tuned in. You're about 30 minutes late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining us talking with Mark Schneep, economist with the California Forecast Project. His website is californiaproject.com. My website, it's California Economic
Forecast.
CaliforniaForecast.com.
Right.
CaliforniaForecast.com is his website. My website is RadioRealEstate.com, where you'll actually be able to listen to this program over and over again on the podcast when it comes out. Steve is listening right now, and he has a question. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for calling Radio Real Estate.
Hi there.
Hi.
So my question is, two questions, really, if I can sneak them in. If we are insulated from a bubble crash, and that's sort of the talk that I've been hearing while I've listened to the program, what made us not be insulated from that bubble crash in the early 90s? The second part of my question is, what drives the commercial sort of apartments and commercial office market in Santa Barbara? It does not seem to be cap rate driven.
Okay, let's take one question at a time, and you understand for that second question, there will be an extra charge. Insulated from the bubble, we've talked about that before, and we mentioned it briefly, the early 90s, the industry we relied more on. But why don't you answer that?
Sure. We're not insulated from the bubble. I don't mean to make that implication at all. As long as we have people that are demanding Santa Barbara properties, we will not feel the full carnage and chaos of a bubble bursting, just like we didn't in the early 90s, not to the extent that surrounding or adjacent areas did in Southern California. All boats rise and fall with the tide. However, some of the tides are a little bit higher than others, and we will feel some of the effects of a bubble breaking in Southern California markets when it does. I just don't feel that it's going to be as severe because we don't rely, our economy doesn't rely, our real estate market doesn't rely on the economy like other places do. So that's that clarification.
The market, when we went down in the 90s, it wasn't as bad? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay.
It was not. We declined, I think, anywhere between 10 and 15% on price declines, and those were in nominal terms, not inflation adjusted. But other places went down double that. I mean, L.A. was 30 to 35, Orange County, Ventura, et cetera. So our decline was much more moderate.
But for Steve to say, and I can understand why he would have this assessment, that he thought we were, and you were, saying we're a little bit insulated, and really in your answer you just gave, you said why we're a little bit insulated.
We're to that degree,
to that,
yes.
But I don't want to give a matter of degree, but not a matter of
kind. I don't want to give the impression that we can all breathe easy and that the bubble isn't going to impact us, because it will, and it will drive a lot of people out of the market, particularly as appreciation rates fall.
Are we a little more insulated, if you will, to use that term, than we were in the 90s, because we have less reliance than we did at that point in time on the local economy?
Perhaps. Perhaps that is the case. We do have less reliance these days. We don't have a big aerospace sector. We've got a lot more disconnect between people that live here and people that work here. So we're probably even more unreliant on the economy, yes.
Now, the second question, Steve, are you still there?
Yeah.
What's the second question again?
Well, the second question is, I'm a commercial real estate investor, and I've moved out of this area because nothing seems to be cap rate driven here. Nothing makes sense here. What's going on with this commercial office market and residential income properties?
They're driven by the anticipation of equity gains.
Okay.
Not by income flows, as you well know, because cap rates are just so low. So everyone's anticipating that because supply is so limited and because we have growth moratoriums of various types in both major jurisdictions, that not enough supply is ever going to get built and the economy will hum along and will ultimately need more people in order to go in these buildings. And so equity will drive these or demand will drive the equities up ultimately.
So what do you see as the future? Do you see the future of these equities, of future appreciation, just keeping on rolling like it's been doing?
No, I don't. Yeah. I think it's a false sense of security in people that are continuing to buy real estate, commercial real estate, as well as residential, for that matter. So, no, I look for the economy to wear out ultimately over time, as it is doing. I mean, we pretty much have a stagnating economy. I mean, it certainly isn't growing like it used to. And no, I think the equity gains will be non-existent.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Hey, thanks both, Marks, for those answers. That was informative.
We're right on the mark.
All right, see ya.
Thanks for calling. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290. Just wrapping up with Mark Schneep, economist, the California Economic Forecast Project, and the website is californiaforecast.com. What else? You talk about the area here. He was talking about commercial investment, residential units. What do you see happening in markets elsewhere, Ventura County, North County?
Well, cap rates are certainly better in those markets than they are here. But, you know, all of coastal California is getting strained with respect to prices of commercial and industrial real estate. I mean, they've been bid up to sky-high prices. Cap rates are now anywhere between 4 and maybe 6%, which is ludicrous. I mean, ultimately, if interest rates continue rising, you'll be able to make more money just with a savings account than you would in a commercial building. However, you won't get the expected or anticipated equity gains. But then again, that's the whole story here, is we think that those gains will be, well, maybe not non-existent, but certainly less than what is anticipated, making the investment there kind of tenuous. So what do we see elsewhere? We see much better investment potential inland, in the Central Valley, in the Inland Empire, in the Antelope and Santa Clarita Valleys. Those are the places with significant momentum where the economy is growing very, very strongly, where lots of jobs are being created, where there's going to be a hefty need for new commercial industrial real estate. And that's all the way up the Central Valley between the 99 and the 5, that corridor, all the way up into Stanislaus, San Joaquin counties. That's a major prime growth area in California right now. That's where all the momentum is.
You mentioned, and you quickly distinguished people investing in the Santa Barbara market in the commercial aspect of it versus the single family, the shelter over your head. You caution about just buying, expecting it to, of course, continue with double-digit appreciation, which you're cautioning, and most people are, that those double-digit appreciation days are over. Of the buyers for shelter, we still see, you know, so it doesn't really matter for them if it's going to go up 2 or 3 or 7% or 15 or 20% if they're buying for shelter to either retire here or got their, you know, receive their new job here. Do you see, and you have any comments on that? Do you see any disconnect or anything falling off the tracks there?
They should buy. They should just buy.
Call me at 898-4242 and we'll sell you a house. Right, because we're here in the long run. I mean, if you look at the long run of real estate and the long run of investment, ultimately, you're not going to go down.
It's only been in recent history, the last 25 years maybe, that we've come to see our residence, our home, as being some investment instrument, when it never was prior to that. We were lucky if we were able to sell it for what we had paid for it, with maybe some return that embodies inflation that we had during that time. It was never considered this big lucrative investment. But that has changed now. And now we have this dual role for real estate, when I think people really need to understand that it's shelter. So they should just buy and forget about the investment.
Yeah, well, the Stone said it best. Now, you also said in the, give me shelter. You also said in the past that nearly all investing implies some level of risk. Now, you can't deny saying that because I have it on an email.
Yes, okay.
I know you denied. What did you deny earlier that I said you said?
That we can't build our way out of it.
Can't build our way out of it. I swear you said. But you said nearly all investing implies some level of risk. And you were countering me because I say that goodness is the only investment that never fails. And you said the only investment that never fails is one that's never made. Now, were you just trying to be funny here? Was that something like humor? Goodness is the only investment that never fails? Do you want to talk more about demographics? We just have a couple of minutes left in this segment.
What is an investment in goodness, Mark?
Are you familiar with Henry David Thoreau? Ask him. He wrote it. And I'll keep saying it. The demographics, I mean, you know, we're going to lend towards the people with the money who keep coming in. Is that what you mean by demographics?
Well, I think the demographics sort of embodies what we've already touched on inherently, and that is who's demanding Santa Barbara real estate. You know, we do a big study about this every 6 months, and our new version is going to come out in the next couple of weeks at the conference. Who buys Santa Barbara real estate? Who is it? And what are the demographics behind that? And is that demographics that we're seeing nationwide or worldwide going to support buying in Santa Barbara over the next 20 years, therefore keeping our lofty real estate prices in place? So that's the big issue. And when you look at the demographics nationwide or worldwide, you would tend to think that, yes, that's the case because everybody's getting older. We're certainly more affluent than we've ever been before. A larger component of the population is because of their age group that they're in, and that there will be that Santa Barbara is highly desirable. And so we will probably have an endless amount, or theoretically could have an endless amount of demand, given that conditions stay about where they are. But as rates go up higher, and I don't think that they're going to go up sharply higher, but as they rise higher, that's going to limit some people and cause them to leave the markets. And it's also going to cause people to look elsewhere for the same kind of lucrative properties, coastal California and other enclaves, which are like up-and-coming affluent areas of California. I mean, they're all over. Why should Santa Barbara be so unique? In fact, Santa Barbara is starting to lose some of its mystique, I believe, because it's so hard to get in and out of here. I mean, we just saw that with the mudslides in January. We were trapped for at least a week. We could use the airports, couldn't get in and out. So it was a real problem with Santa Barbara. And I think that that kind of stigma may ultimately cause people to wonder whether they should buy in Santa Barbara, because that same thing doesn't occur in Orange County. I mean, certainly there are mudslides and there are problems and things like that, but at least you can get in and out on a daily basis. There's alternative roads. There's not one here.
Well, you know, you can get in and out of McDonald's pretty quick, too. Are you going to eat there? Or are you going to eat at nice fine dining place here?
We're not talking about the same thing.
Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned the mudslides. You mentioned, we think about Katrina, this natural disaster. You think about 9/11, this terrorist attack. We've been hit with a lot of heavy things recently, and yet it's not like someone pulled the chair out from under us in terms of our economy and real estate. What's it going to take? We've got our closing minute here. What's it going to take for something to happen catastrophically to really have this bubble burst or something wildly insane to happen to our economy and real estate?
It's going to take an episodic event which is unexpected, unanticipated, and continuous. That's what it's going to take. And it's going to take something that is not in our past memory of events that we know about. I mean, we know about terrorism attacks now, and so we're kind of used to that a little bit. We know about natural disasters, fires, floods, mudslides, train derailments, tsunamis, things like that. So that's kind of in our frame of reference, too. So it would take something that's completely different from that that would cause us to really reel back, because how is the economy going to deal with this? It's going to be the first question. Or it's going to take something that we're used to, but it's more sustained. Something that's fast, rapid, and episodic normally doesn't cause long-run detriment to the economy. And if anything, it will cause a benefit to the economy through the rebuilding efforts, the vibrancy that occurs. That's what's going to happen in the New Orleans area. The nation's going to be a lot better off over the long run in terms of economic growth because of that than we're going to see a loss in growth.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. People lament the money that it's going to cost, the money that's being spent on the war in Iraq. People are always, you know, wringing their hands about it. You're wringing your hands right now. But, you know, we still get up in the morning. We go down and get our $4 Starbucks. Are people Is that a problem that people should really be losing sleep over, about where the money's going to come from? In other words, the deficit, the debt?
No, they shouldn't be. Much of that money that's going into the Gulf Coast is going to be loans. I mean, the federal government is going to have a complete giveaway. Lots of it will ultimately be paid back over time.
Hmm. You mentioned Mark Schneep is our guest. Again, his seminar September 29th at the Fess Parker's DoubleTree. Website is californiaforecast.com. My website is radiorealestate.com. You mentioned terrorism. We do BBC News here on the station, but I did just hand it to me. AP/UPI reported that the French government announced yesterday that it has raised its terror alert from run to hide. And the only two higher levels in France are surrender and collaborate. So just, you know, as a little aside, since you brought up terrorism, to finalize the program and discussion, we mentioned Starbucks here and living wage. That's on the table. In a nutshell, the city of Santa Barbara and I guess other cities, well, we're really running out of time, proposing that if a contract has, if they have more than a $15,000 contract with the city is going to tell the contractor what to pay the employees. Just describing it doesn't make sense. Is that going to pass?
I don't know. I mean, anything could pass on any given day. I don't think it's a very good idea. And I've been to the city council and raised some of the issues there.
Well, good for you. You're a community-minded fellow. Mark Schneep, my guest today, economic forecast director. Thanks so much for coming, Mark.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Is my ticket in the mail to your conference?
Not yet.
Now you will get it.
We'll
call.
It, yeah.
You'll
be at will call. That's right.
Yeah, will call. CaliforniaForecast.com. Thanks, Mark. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We'll take a break and come back for a short fourth segment to do the weekly multiple listing update. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.